Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Short Term Show. Before we get to today's awesome guest, I want to address one thing that has been showing up in the comments. Yes, I have resting bitch face. We know this. I've known this since I was a kid. It is not that I am uninterested in what my guests are saying, just my resting face looks mean. And I am sorry about that. I did not choose my face. I will try to do better on the resting bitch face, but there is no need to continue commenting on it. We are very much aware. So with that being said, I'd like to welcome today's guest, Cody Ball. How's it going, Cody?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah. Happy to be here. Ready to go.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's just start right at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into real estate investing, want to hear about your portfolio, all that, but start at the beginning.
Yeah, I'll start from the very beginning. So I live in Kansas City. I'm on the Kansas side in the suburb. That's Olathe, Kansas. Married, got two kids, a six-year-old, a two-year-old. I've actually been with my wife since I was 15 years old. So we've been together for a long time.
Oh my goodness.
I know. That's like my one fun fact that I have to share with everybody, that I've been with my wife since I was
15. That's so cute. If I was married to my boyfriend when I was 15, I would be like in a dumpster.
I don't know anything different. So I'm really thankful, actually. I'd hate to get back out there in the dating world now. So we're from Kansas City. A little bit of my professional background. So I played baseball. I went to Pittsburgh State, which is a small Division II school in Kansas. Played baseball there, got an exercise science degree. Anyone out there that has an exercise science degree, you know that you cannot do anything with it except for just go to more school. So that was pretty pointless.
Yeah, kinesiology.
Yeah, exactly. You could either go to PT school, chiropractic school, or you can be a personal trainer, which you don't need a degree for. So that's not right. Decision on my part. So I thought I wanted to be a coach. Obviously, I was a baseball player. Every college athlete thinks they want to be a coach. Realized that coaches don't make much money. And so at least starting out.
Right.
So I thought, well, I know how to work hard. I know how to talk to people. I'm going to try sales. So I literally Googled entry-level sales jobs and applied to the first one, which was an Medicare insurance call center here in Kansas City. So that's where I started my professional career and did that for 2 years. Actually, I was with that company for 9 years, was a salesperson for 2 years, figured that out, moved my way up into a leadership role. But I would say, generally speaking, so a little bit more about my background. My dad was an entrepreneur. He actually owns a trash business here in Kansas. Cool. And I've always had that entrepreneurial itch. And so that's another reason why I got into sales in the first place, was because I was like, I really wanted to own my own business, but I didn't want all the risks associated with it. So I was like, right.
All
right.
Don't we all.
Exactly. So I did that. But after a while, it just kind of, I needed more. I needed more of a challenge. I started to get kind of antsy with those golden handcuffs that I had going on in my corporate job. So I decided to take the plunge into actually long-term rentals. And that was back in 2021. Okay. So 2021, I bought two long-term rentals here in Kansas City. And they were great. I mean, they did what they're supposed to do. I paid, I think, $120,000 for one of them, $110,000 for the other one. They cash flowed about $300 a month. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. But at some point in, let's see, it's 2024. So it would have been early last year. I just got an itch. I thought, you know, my plan was to, you know, I'm going to get 20 of these things and retire a rich man. And for some reason, it came into my brain that, you know, I don't want to wait till I'm 65 to retire. I want to start making some more money now and maybe retire early. And happenstance, that's when I heard your podcast on Bigger Pockets, which I'm sure many people that have been on the show were inspired to get into it from that one podcast. Heard that and I was like, man, this actually doesn't seem that hard. You know, supercharge your cash flow with short-term rentals and then buy more long-terms with it. Like, hey, that seems like I can do that. Heard your podcast. That was in early last year. Read your book in May. And then I started looking. We are beach people. I think I wanted that regional drive to vacation market. And so I started looking in that kind of Destin, Panama City Beach, Gulf Shores area. And for whatever reason, you start in Panama City Beach, you work your way up the coast, and the prices seem to make the most sense in the Gulf Shores area at that time. So reached out to the short-term shop, got hooked up with Austin Lewis.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what other option there was for me at that point in time. I was like, I was locked into the short-term shop. I read the book, I heard the podcast. I was like, I'm doing this. So I got hooked up with Austin Lewis in Gulf Shores, and we closed on our first STR. It was a 4-4 beach cottage right across the street from the beach in July of last year.
Love it. Thank you very much. We appreciate your business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the experience was awesome. I mean, Austin was super helpful. I've even talked to Luke on the phone several times. He's been super helpful. I can't believe he just gives his cell phone number out to people.
He does. He does.
He does not care at all. It's hysterical.
This episode of The Short Term Show is brought to you by The Short Term Shop. 30-year fixed mortgages, tax benefits, and long-distance management training made easy are just a few of the perks of owning a short-term rental. The Short-Term Shop can help you buy and learn how to manage your property from anywhere in the world. Just go to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected. Again, that's theshorttermshop.com, and we are brokered by eXp. See y'all over there.
So we did that. We bought our home, and I went through the management Monday with Luke and read every single thing that I possibly could on short-term rentals. We did decide we wanted to self-manage. My wife and I decided we wanted to do that together. And we went live on the booking platforms. It was August 4th of last year. And started getting bookings immediately. Followed all the advice. Got great photos. Followed your listing description. Followed Luke's listing description advice. All the little things that you're supposed to do that he talks about with Airbnb. We did all of it. And just started flooding in. And that happened to be, so we had a good August, get into September, and this is a beach market. So September is kind of an iffy month in a beach market. For those of you who don't know, you can be booked up or you can be 20% occupied. It's just kind of ebbs and flows based off how good you are at running your short-term rental and also what the market's doing. So we were 70% occupied in September with about $9,000 in revenues, and we were outperforming everyone in our community. And we have a Facebook group with our community, and somebody was in there saying, hey, you know, it was like middle of September. Like, I got no bookings. Who are you guys using out there? And I was like, well, I mean, we manage ourselves and we haven't really thought about it much, but hey, we talked to you about managing yours to see if we can have the same success that we have as a co-host. And we got on the phone with her and had our first co-host client. We actually didn't start with her till December. But that's how we got into the co-hosting business, which, see on my hat, Ball B&B is our co-hosting business. So, but all in all, I mean, our first year in short-term rentals has been amazing. We started a business out of it, but the coolest part is, you know, the previous manager that had our property was a large property manager in the area, and they had done 69K the prior year. And by just implementing the things that we learned on the short-term shop or from the short-term shop, we did 105K in our first
year. Oh, wow. How many bedrooms is this property?
It's a 4-4.
Okay. So there's one like main overarching theme or concept that I want to pull out here. And it is that you started post quote Airbnb bust. I'm saying that tongue in cheek. And you started in a, again, quote unquote, I don't even know if you're supposed to say unquote, whatever, quotation marks, air quotes, saturated market. And you've been successful, because that's, according to the internet, you can't do that. So I want to hear more about, you know, well, I'm getting way ahead of myself. I started a sentence with one question and then another question in my brain and then didn't finish any of it. So, but I think that something I want to pull out here too is that even in a market when there's a ton of rentals, and tell me if this is not true about your properties and your business, but it sounds like it is, that you're not really competing with every rental in the market. Like you just said that everybody in your community was like, what property management company are you using? Which sounds to me like they might be, you know, maybe a little older, follow a lot of the real estate investing trends. Maybe they're not real estate investors. Maybe they just have this thing, you know, they live in Birmingham and they have it to go to and hang out at occasionally. So you weren't competing with them because they weren't doing the things they needed to do to be competitive. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. The more I learn about these large property managers, they don't know how to dominate on Airbnb and Vrbo. I mean, if you want my honest opinion, they're really, really trying to push their direct booking sites and all that stuff, which is good. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand the reasoning behind it, but I mean, you can't outmarket Airbnb and Vrbo. You can't. And so
I'm
competing with the properties on page 1 and 2. It's like, that's what I'm trying to do is get on page 1 and 2, whether it's with my listing or with pricing or whatever it is. It's like, really, that's your competition. Once you understand what those properties are doing and apply that to yours, that's your competition that you're really trying to outperform.
I haven't heard anybody say that before, but that is a good metric. Like, you're really only competing with page 1 and 2. Everybody else not doing it right.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, Rank Breeze is one of the tools that we use. And I mean, anytime you drop below page 2, like you're not getting bookings. And so understanding how to stay on that, and we can go through all that stuff if you want to, what we do to that. But
yeah,
most important thing.
Yeah. Let's hear some tips and tricks to stay on page 1 and 2. What you got? Because you're clearly, you know, you're very successful. You had everything going against you, according to the internet, and you've been successful out of the gate. So yeah, I would love to hear tips and tricks, as I'm sure all of our listeners would, on staying on page 1 and 2.
Absolutely. So it's so funny because none of it's groundbreaking, right? I would say my favorite way to sum up managing a short-term rental is it's not easy, but it's not hard. It requires effort, but the effort is not complicated, if you understand what I mean.
Yes.
So to me, consistency is the key to it. Obviously, how your listing starts out is super important. You want to prioritize getting to 3 reviews as quickly as possible, so you become officially 5 stars on that. 3 5-star reviews as quickly as possible. Don't book it for $1 a night. I'm exaggerating, but literally, I would book it for $1 a night to get 3 5-star reviews. We don't, but you get what I'm saying. It's how important it is. Mm-hmm.
And that is one thing that people get really stuck in their brain on what their break-even number is. And they say, okay, I can never, ever book for below this break-even number per night. But your break-even number is an average. So you can go below that because you're going to get above that at some times too. But I think people get really hung up on that one number and they won't go below it. And then they say, oh, well, I'm not booked. And I'm like, well, you know, it's November at the beach and you're priced too high. So anyway, just go ahead. Caveat there.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. It's, and especially in the beginning, it's like you need that momentum on the platforms in the beginning to optimize that new listing boost that they give you.
Right. And by doing it once, we're not saying you have to do it forever, but lowering it to get booked will jump you around in the algorithm and also get you a good review. So
exactly. So getting to that 3 review mark is super important. Then getting to that 5 review mark is super important because you become that guest favorite on Airbnb, which helps you up in the rankings, right? And this is, of course, after you've taken great pictures, you've vetted your pictures, make sure you're advertising the most important and unique amenities for your property up front. Your first 5 pictures are the most important. You got to make sure you've got those boom booms. That's what Luke calls them in the first section of your Airbnb or the first section of your listing. So people understand what the highlights of your property are because their attention span is not very long. You have to capture their attention with those first 5 photos and then with those boom booms in the description. So that's getting started. After that, I think our weekly cadence is probably the biggest reason why we are able to stay on there. So, I mean, it's little stuff, right? Every Monday, we swap our cover photo. We have 3 different cover photos that we have for each property. We swap it. Why? Because as soon as you swap a photo, add or remove a photo, it triggers you in the algorithm on Airbnb for a favorable boost, right? Day 2, update your listing title to whatever seasonality we're in. If you're a new listing, put new, or if it's an August, September, fall specials, or if you're trying to book for Christmas specials, you're trying to include those top amenities in that listing, the title, but ultimately just changing it will give you that boost, right? Wednesdays, wishlist Wednesday with you guys. We do that every single week. Our properties, getting those hearts, those wish lists on your property in Airbnb and Vrbo, that boosts you in the rankings, right? Thursday is our pricing day. So we do use Price Labs for our pricing software, and we can kind of get into the things that we do to set the foundation. But ultimately, once that foundation is set, you can't set it and forget it. We have a comp set for each property that we own and co-host for, and at least 8 to 10 properties, and we are enemy method. How is our pricing versus those pricing? versus those properties? How's our occupancy versus those properties? Go to page one or two, manually search. What are the, are we on page one or two? Yes or no? If we're not, what are the properties on page one or two? What are those priced like? All very, very simple stuff, but needs to be done consistently to remain in the top one, page one and two. And then Fridays, we do Facebook group posts for local Facebook groups. And then we do Bill Faith's Favorite Friday, which is again, more wish list on our property. So none of it's groundbreaking, but our consistency is what separates us, I think. So there you go.
I think all of that is really, really good advice. You do need to pay really close attention to your pricing. You need to pay close attention to your enemies and what other people are doing and adapt accordingly. Got to swap out those photos if things aren't working. You know, I don't think Airbnb has ever come out and said that switching your photos or changing up your listing actually does boost it in the algorithm. But I think we've all kind of seen that it does, but they won't admit that. And maybe we
I think so too.
Yeah. Maybe it's like what is that thing called? The Mandela effect, where everybody remembers the same thing, but it's wrong.
Exactly. Maybe it's that,
but I think we've all seen that that does make a difference. And I think it's important. I think a lot of people have like one photo that they're like, this is my cover photo and this is the best one. And I think you make a really good point to have three that you can swap between, because if you only have one really good, like this is my star photo, then you can't swap, or else you'd be hurting your listing by swapping it to, you know, like a picture of a king bed in a bedroom or something. So I think that's a really, really good tip to have three good cover photos that you can use to swap between. So guys, write that down.
Yes. Also, if you're, I love data. I'm a data nerd, and we use RankBreeze to track how our listings are performing. I know, and Airbnb has a lot of things that you can use for free. You don't even have to pay for it to track how your listing's performing. But I mean, back to your thing about Airbnb's never come out and said that it doesn't improving the rankings. But if you have RankBreeze for enough time and you use that A/B testing function in there, where you're literally logging every time that you make a change and seeing what happens to you in the rankings when you make that change. I mean, I've done it every week for a year and a half now, and I can see, hey, it does. Like I'm telling you right now, it does. Every time we switch a thing or switch a photo, it jumps us in the, even if it's just a tiny bit, it will jump you in the rankings. So having that, the more you can log your data and go back and look at it and understand this cover photo improves our click rate by this much, or improves our conversion rate by this month, as much data as you can possibly have, that's how you win on these platforms. And again, not complicated, not hard, but it takes consistency, which is not easy. So,
right. Right. Yeah. Let's switch gears for a minute and talk about how you got your management clients, because so many people are like, oh, I want to get started in short-term rentals, but I can't because I don't have enough money. Well, the best way to start without the capital to make a down payment is to manage for other people, because you're generating the cash flow that you'll need to save up for a down payment, but you're also getting the experience that you'll need in managing a property for when you buy your property. So I would love to hear how you were able to get these management clients, because you have five under management that you don't own.
Yes, we have five. We have five properties that we co-host for right now. And we're actually, I mean, we have five this day, but we're in the middle of onboarding eight more right now. So we'll be at 13.
Oh my goodness. All in Gulf Shores?
No, actually, let's see. I think eight or nine of them are in Gulf Shores, and four of them are in Hot Springs, Arkansas, which I wasn't prospecting there, but I contacted an owner in Gulf Shores and he had properties in Hot Springs. So that's how that conversation started.
Oh,
So anyway, sorry, ask your question again. I lost.
What does the conversation look like when you were pitching an owner to manage for them?
Yes. So I may be alone in this, but I firmly believe that, and I'm not here to rain on anybody's parade. I'm not going to shoot down anyone's dreams by any means, but I think that you should own a property before you co-host or manage for other people. And honestly, it makes the sales process a lot easier because you have a case study or a track record of your success with your property. So I would say in my conversations, probably the easiest thing to point to as to why you should switch with us is we have our own property that we took from we took from 69K to 105K. We have five other properties that we increased. It was, I think at least 25% from their previous year over year. with their previous property manager. So having those bases to compare for people, I think, is really important.
Yeah.
I'll pause there. Questions there?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Yeah, to say, well, here's what I've done with my own property, and then they trust you a little more.
Are you having trouble trying to decide which market to buy in? No problem. That's just one of the many live sessions we offer in Short Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know about buying and managing short-term rentals from anywhere in the world, right at your fingertips. You'll also get early access to our world-famous Management Monday session, live each and every Monday. Don't delay. Turbocharge your generational wealth today. Join us at stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com for a live call with more info on Short-Term Shop Plus. Did you know there's actually a company that will help you find and purchase your first or next short-term rental? The Short-Term Shop is the premier short-term rental acquisition company. They have a team of realtors with tons of experience, and most of them actually own their own properties as well. They are the best in the business and would be happy to help you with your next purchase. You can find them at theshorttermshop.com. Brokered by EXP. Theshorttermshop.com.
So how do you find people to co-host? I think that's probably the biggest roadblock for most people who want to co-host is how do you find them?
Yeah. So we've done it a few ways. So obviously I told you about that first client who we're so grateful for because she took a chance on us. I mean, right out of the gate. But our first one was just somebody else in the community looking for, it was a Facebook group that we found her. She was looking for another manager. We talked to her. That was how we found our first one. Our next three were actually referrals from realtors that knew. The first one was from Austin, which we appreciate Austin for. He knew that we were getting into co-hosting, and he asked me how our results were, and I told him, and then he relayed that on to the buyer of one of his properties that he listed. So that was the second one.
Cool.
The third one was a referral from our cleaner, who's we've kept super busy keeping our property occupied. So she's like, hey, these guys are doing something over here. So you might want to talk to them. So we got one from her. Then the next one was a referral from a different realtor who is actually part of the mastermind group. I'm in Mike Shogren's STR Secrets Mastermind.
Okay.
He was part of that. So that was another realtor referral. And then the rest of the properties, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, have all come from me personally prospecting. I have a sales background, so I don't have, I mean, I built a call center and was personally a call center agent making 300 phone calls a day.
They love Midwesterners for that.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
So. Luke worked in call centers and stuff when he was in college because there's a lot of them in Omaha for that reason because you guys don't have accents.
Yes, yes. So the rest of them, they were the old fashioned. We went down to Gulf Shores in February and did just some drive. We just drove around, my wife and I, and I was like, hey, write down addresses of properties that we'd like to manage. And so we wrote down a bunch of addresses. We were able to look up the owners of those addresses through tax records. And then I just make phone calls out to them. And it's hard work, but it is what it is when you're trying to build a business.
Driving for dollars. I love it. And people underestimate that, especially if you're looking for management clients, because I'm not exactly sure how it works in Gulf Shores, but over here in 30A and Destin and Panama City Beach, you have to have a sign out in front of your house that says it's a vacation rental and the name of the management company on there. Mm-hmm. And there's one that there is 1.5 miles between my house and my office on 30A. And there are probably 15 properties that are on this management company that are all within 1/10 of a mile of the beach. And the management company has been around for probably 50 years. And every single one of them is a property that should be absolutely crushing it, like crushing it. They're all like many of them are Gulf Front, but this property manager's website looks like a GeoCities website from 1995. Half the time it doesn't work. And I'm like, if I wanted to manage properties, this is where I would start, is go for all of this manager's properties because they have a lot of really great ones that you can tell they've just had for 20 years and don't do anything with really. So I think that's a really good way to do it because you know exactly where to find you've got the address so you can find who owns it and you know exactly where to find what their marketing is because they've got the name of the property management company right there. So I think driving through dollars is such an underrated way to find whether it's clients or deals to buy in general. So
it is, it is. And you can, I mean, we use AirDNA so we can look up revenues of every property. So I mean, it's not perfect, but it's probably within 10% most of the time where I can find the owner or find the address, look up the owner, look up the property in AirDNA and see how much revenue it's doing. And I'm like, well, that property's doing 120. It should be doing 180. Like, hey, let's talk about those. And that's a great conversation starter between me and an owner. So I mean, it is. It's great.
Yeah. Well, Cody, so this has been so awesome. I love to hear your enthusiasm and how you've done so well in what could be considered, you know, like the worst time in short-term rental, just media-wise. And I think that you're a really great example of like, hey, you can be successful in any asset class at any time if you buy right, finance right, and manage right. Mm-hmm. And I think that you are a really great example of that. And I'm so proud that you're a client of ours and that you've been so successful and that hopefully we've had played a small part in helping you down that road. But is there anything that you feel like our listeners would benefit from hearing about your story that we haven't talked about yet?
I don't think so. I want to plug the short-term shop real quick because you say,
guys, we did not pay him.
She's not paying me. Trust me. But have you played a small part? Like, it makes me want to laugh. It's just like, have you played a small part? It's like, if you guys, all listeners out there, you're not using the short-term shop to help you find a short-term rental investment, you're out of your mind. Because it's not, it's not just, oh, they have great agents. It really is a community. Like, I'm at my part of the Facebook group. I ask questions in the Facebook group. I have only bought a property in Gulf Shores, but I know agents in the short-term shop in Panama City Beach. I know them in the Smokies. I know them in Branson. And I've talked to all of them. I've talked to Luke on the phone several times. And the fact that, yes, you're paying them a commission to buy or sell a house, but also they give you a community and training and everything that you need. I mean, I wouldn't have been inspired to get started. And then I wouldn't have had the success so quickly that I had out of the gate if it wasn't for their guidance. So I really have to plug you guys. You do an awesome job.
Oh, well, thank you, Cody. I really appreciate that. We can't tell you how much we appreciate your business and for you coming on the show and saying all that. Like, I could not have asked for a better ad. Thank you so much. All right. So we're to the last three questions of the show, and we ask these same three questions to everyone. First question, what advice would you give 20-year-old Cody?
20-year-old Cody. Don't get an exercise science degree. That's that.
No, I mean, I have a communications degree, like same thing here. It's
I would say, gosh, I mean, it's so cliche and I don't want to be cliche, but it is just get started sooner, get started in real estate sooner.
Yeah.
The sooner that you get started, the more well off that you're going to be. And it just gives you so many options. I mean, yeah, like I don't regret getting a W-2 because it taught me how to be successful in a corporate environment. And it taught me, you know, discipline and work ethic and things like that. But if I would have been smart and maybe house hacked out of the gate and, you know, started buying long terms or even short terms out of the gate, I mean, by now I probably could have a portfolio of 20 plus properties if I had just started sooner. So don't wait, start now. Yeah, even with the market the way that it is, I will say that if I'm saving up money rapidly so I can buy as soon as possible with the way the market it is right now, because people are sitting on the sidelines and this property that we have in Gulf Shores, sorry, I'm going on a rant now. This property that we had in Gulf Shores, we bought it second home loan, 15% down, 7.625% interest rate. And a HELOC. Luke ripped my butt for that. Oh, I took out a HELOC on that. But you know what? I mean, we'll pay that off with our co-hosting income and things like that. So it's not an issue, but I'm paying $500 a month on the HELOC plus all the other expenses associated with it. We're still cash flowing 10 grand. And it's like, that is insane when I'm used to making $300 a month off of my long-term rental. So get started now, regardless of what the market's doing. You're not going to regret it later. That's my advice.
Great advice. And so, kind of similar question, but you have to come up with a different answer. What advice would you give a new investor who's looking to get started today? So we're recording this in October 2024. kind of wacky out there, got an election coming up. What advice would you give somebody who's trying to get started today?
Don't get too bogged down in the details. Everything that it comes, when it comes to running short-term rentals or long-term rentals, any type of real estate, it's all learnable. So don't let yourself have, don't be scared where it seems overwhelming because there's so many things that go into it. Just take it one step at a time, get pre-approved, start analyzing properties, then understand how to manage properties, read some books. All the information that you need is out there. You just have to be willing to read it and listen to the people that know more than you do. So my advice would be, don't be fearful. Everything is figure outable.
Great advice. And last question, what's your favorite book that's impacted your mindset?
So I have a bunch. I don't think I'd even be an original member of any real estate podcast if I didn't say Rich Dad Poor Dad. So I have to say Rich Dad Poor Dad. But outside of that, it'd be a tie between Grant Cardone's 10X. He has so many 10X titled books. It's the original one, whatever the original 10X book was. And the reason why is because if you haven't read it, listen to it on audio. I listened to it on a trip and had Grant Cardone yell at me for 4 hours. And it was the most amazing 4 hours I've ever had in my life. just, you don't understand the type of that. Until I read that book, I didn't quite understand the type of urgency and action that people at that level were taking. And I feel like that book really kicked me into gear. Like, hey, you could take way more action than you're taking right now. That's one of them. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Grant, I know Grant Cardone's like kind of crazy lately, but those first few books really were great. And I mean, he's got so much other, I'm saying this right now. And in 2028, remember I said this, I'm just an observer on social media and I do think he's a little crazy, but I do love him. But still, disclaimer, I do think he's crazy. I think he's going to try and run for president in 2028. I'm predicting that right now.
With the amount of effort he's putting into branding himself and plugging himself into political things, I think I agree with you. Yeah. I think I agree with you. Mark it down.
Yeah. Yeah. He's leaving some clues on social media. So anyway, that's what I think. I'm going to have this to refer back to in 2028 when he does it. And that's all. I don't have an opinion on it. I'm just saying. my prediction.
Yeah. Yep. Green light. I have to mention Green Lights. Matthew McConaughey's memoir. Mm-hmm. You ever read that one?
I haven't read it. Luke read it and said it was really good, but I never got around to it.
It's fantastic. It's my favorite book, period. Definitely listen to it on audio because how can you not just listen to Matthew McConaughey tell stories for however long the book is? But that book was just really good perspective on, you know, going after the things that you want in life and understanding when, you know, life's giving you signs to move forward or stop. And it's just a fantastic book. So I have to mention that one as well.
Good. I'm going to put that on my audio list. I forgot about that one, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Cody, thank you so much for coming on and thank you for all the wonderful things you've had to say about us. I really appreciate that. And if our listeners want to follow you or find you, how can they do that?
Yeah. So you can follow me. I have a Facebook, Cody Ball is my name. We have a website, ballbnb.com. And then we also have a Facebook page for BallBnB as well. So you can find us on there, message me. My phone number's on there. If you want to text me, call me. I'm here.
All right. Well, Cody, thank you so much for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you.